die beste woord om hom te beskryf. Hy is betrokke by ons Shofar HQ in Stellenbosch. So hy bring vir ons die woord vanoggend, so kom ons van lekker warm hande klap. En dankie.
Dankie Christo. Ek sien Christo is bietjie vakerig nog. Ek het hom Vrydag aand 12:30 het hy vir my die sleutels gegee van Paulus se huis. Ons bly daarso. Maar dankie Christo vir jou commitment. Kom ons staan gou vinnig net en dan bid ons saam. Vader, ons loof U vir U teenwoordigheid en Father, we bless You for just being the Lord of our lives. Today we come to You and Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that You will come and just bless us this morning, Father, with the reassurance that You will never leave us nor forsake us, that You will be the one to speak into our lives and through our lives, Father, so that we will be able to fulfill the things that You've called us to do, not the things, Father God, that we want to do. And this morning we pray in Jesus' name that even this holiday that You will be a revelation to us, that You will speak into our hearts, into our minds, and Father, that You will give us the opportunity to really discover You more, come closer to You, Father God, to get addicted to Your presence in the name of Jesus. Amen. Dankie, julle kan sit. Can I just quickly see, is there anyone here that only understand English and not well with Afrikaans? Can I just get an indication? Okay, will you understand Afrikaans or not? Okay, so then I'll speak in English this morning. It's a great privilege to be here. And it's always great to come to George. We had a great time there in Stellenbosch and just in prayer this past few weeks and just consecrating ourselves and everything that that the Lord does. That's my wife and my three daughters. And they came with this time around. It's really a blessing to have them with. So yeah, we are really focusing on just the consecration of ourselves and this movement unto the Lord again and just anew bring ourselves to God to say, God, do with us as You please. I spoke to a lady the other day, and one of the things that she told me, she was so excited about this purpose-driven life. And as we spoke, I just listened to what she said, and I'm also blessed with that book. Don't hear me wrong this morning. But as I listened to what she said, I experienced one thing that the Holy Spirit again and again is saying to us as a church. That yes, it's wonderful for us now to get great revelations of who we are in Christ and the great callings upon our lives and the purpose and great things that God is still going to do in our individual lives. But I can tell you one thing that I know that God is saying to all of us. It's not even about your calling. It's about a sacrificial life before God. It's laying down your life to such an extent, and that is exactly what the Holy Spirit is saying, to such an extent that nothing is left of yourself, but everything that God is doing is the main focus of your life. God's agenda. And I'm reminded of that thing that John Bevere says in his book, Driven by Eternity, over and over again. He says, you will not be judged according to the things that you did on earth, but the things that you've been called to do. Are you with me this morning? Because we do a lot of great things, and we think that it's pleasing to God, but we're not doing what God is expecting us to do. And the devil is really succeeding in getting us to the place where we focus on a lot of stuff and a lot of good things. I spoke to a British guy on Friday, and he really has a heart to. It's a philanthropic, just sense of really engaging into the poor communities. And as I spoke to him, I said, you know what, it's wonderful. The problem is just that God is at move, and people must get saved. The time is ripe, and I can tell you there's not a lot of time left. And so I, in the beginning of the year, went to Joburg, or actually to Standerton, and the Saturday night I had to to fly to Joburg. Now, I can't remember, but it's about 3 hours drive still from the airport, 3-4 hours drive from the airport to Standerton. So I had everything worked out. It was about, 5 o'clock my flight. So I would have been at 7 o'clock in Joburg and then drive through. So about 11-ish, I would be in Standerton. But this time around, I said, listen, I'd rather take my family with. Now, they never go with me to airport because it's just, you know, to get everyone in the car like this morning, it's such a blessing to have them with, but it's such an organization. And I think you guys, I saw you coming late as well, and I understand when I saw all the kids again. It's just such an organization when you've got a lot of kids and you need to get them in the car and, you know, they're excited about, you know, seeing the airplane and the daddy's going. And so wonderful stuff. As we got into the car, I knew I'm so late as I've never been before. So I got onto the airport and I saw this lady's face at the desk there. And she said to me, sir, there's no chance. Your persuasion is not going to work today. You must rather just get another ticket. So I went to the desk and I immediately, you know what happened? You immediately think, oh, you know, what's my financial manager going to say about this new ticket to Joburg and all kinds of things. I bought the ticket and luckily the family got a spur blessing out of it. We went to the spur on the airport. I got onto the airplane, and now at this time, I think it was about 7 now, the flight, so I knew, listen, this is going to get very late. Getting to Standerton, where Anton and Christelle is, would not just arriving there and sleeping. There's going to be a lot of conversation still happening that same evening. So with all of this in mind, I was preparing myself now to go and sit on the aeroplane and just rus 'n bietjie. Daai wat jy net besef, skop jou skoene uit, raak rustig. Vir 2 ure het jy ten minste nou 'n bietjie fokus tyd. And then I sat in the plane and I saw this guy sitting next to me. Now, I don't know how it works, but it's always like that. When you are up to speaking, there's never somebody sitting next to you on the aeroplane that you can speak to. But if you want to sleep, there's always this guy that wants conversation. Now, I sat there seeing this guy and now clinging to just the armrests. And I could see his knuckles white as we left off from the airfield. And I saw this guy is so afraid. As we left, went into the air, this guy was starting to speak, and I realized that he was not just afraid; he was also very prepared for this flight, because I could see he was at the bar at the airport. He prepared himself very well, and he was prepared to speak, and so now, as I watched him, and he was starting to speak, he was immediately calling the air hostess and asking her, listen, just bring me 2 beers immediately. So he's downing the 2 beers, and he's speaking. Now, in this time, I was starting to notice that there's a lot of people also listening to this conversation that we had. And you know how it works in the aeroplane. You see people sleeping like this, their ears almost, you know, over the seat, just to listen to what's happening at the back seat. So as he was just, you know, so loud and speaking aloud, that I knew it's going to come, and that's always the most difficult question for a pastor: what job do you do? Because if it gets to that point, you know that it's as if people just put on that religious hat. Everything changes when they hear that you're the pastor. Then immediately they start to speak good things and wonderful things. And all the swearing that happened until now was over. So, now you must remember, as I was sitting in the airplane, there was about 10, probably 15 people around us listening to this conversation because this guy was just so loud. And the one thing that he immediately started with when he heard that I was a pastor is he said to me, "A pastor, you know what? I was in a church as well. And they kicked me out of that church." And he was just going off on this church and how wrong this church was and how many things went wrong in this church and how... And he was asking me the question, so how does your church differ from the church that I spoke about now? Now remember, people are listening, so I can't just... You know, answer this guy in vain. I must make sure that I answer good questions, good answers now, so that I can influence the other people as well. And immediately the Holy Spirit said to me, "No, throw the ball back in his court." And one of the things that he spoke to me about that they had a great problem with was his drinking problems. That was part of why he was kicked out of the church. And I said to him, "So what does God say about your drinking problem? Does God have a problem?" And the guy was sitting there and I could see he was kind of baffled because what does God have to do with anything about the church now and about the people in the church and about the traditions of the church and the church discipline that was over his head? But immediately I could see there was a few sums that he had to make about his life, about his relationship with God, his conviction, and the way that he was approaching God. I could see something was busy changing. The rest of the conversation I'll get back to, but I can tell you there's something in this life that you and I must realize about the way in which the devil always gets us to be distracted in not following the ways of God, because we are so in the flesh. And I want to read that scripture to you this morning. Galatians 5 verse 25 says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Being in step. Op haar plek waar jy in perfecte volgafstand is van die ou voor jou, soos 'n peloton. Waar jy weet dat die ou voor jou stap en jy sorg dat jy trap waar sy haak oplig en jylle volg mekaar in 'n peloton op so mate dat jylle perfect in gelid bly. Dis waarvan hierdie skrif praat. Met ander woorde, it says that we must make sure that we keep in step with where God is busy moving. Romans 8 verse 4 to 5. And I want to spend a little bit of time in Romans 8 this morning. Well-known chapter. Go and read it again at home. It always inspires me. 8 verse 4. "That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Now there's a challenge for us this morning, and I want to really trust that God is going to stir something in your heart. Because the first thing that I want to talk about is the things that we set ourselves to when it comes to the flesh. Romans 8 verse 6 then, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his." There's a lot of religious activity happening all around the world today. But God wants us to understand that, and He says in His Word, it's not by our own strength. It's when you are not in step with God, then you cannot please God. It says that we must set our minds to the things of the Spirit. Now, I was again so astonished just by the fact that this guy was trying to figure out God and trying to figure out how the people of God works, and you know, the whole time trying to figure out why he is in this situation that he is in. But the more I speak to him, the more I can see that there's a lot of reasoning happening. And there's a lot of Christians today, I can tell you, that you talk to and they start to reason about everything but what God is saying. I think I spoke about it the last time that I was here, sitting around the table there at Stellenbosch with one of the well-known town planners. And he said, you know what, this property that you guys are, you know, that you have here in Stellenbosch, let me tell you, this is too expensive to be used for a church. And the only thing that I had to say to him is, that is fine, that is good, and I understand where your reasoning is coming from, but let me tell you, that is only fine if you and I focus on the things of the world and not understand that what if God wants us to have this property? You know, I look all over the country and we as Christians are really failing in seeing what is happening in the spiritual realm. You know, the Muslims are buying up every Dutch Reformed church that is empty all over the country and they're making mosques out of them. That is their strategy. I've seen it now in Hermanus, I've seen it in Bloemfontein, I've seen it all over the place. Because immediately it's zoned for religious purposes, midtown, center of communities. And we don't understand that as Christians, we do have a foothold in South Africa, but only for a small time that's left. But I was sitting with this guy and I realized that that is so many times where Christians and their reasoning take them away from God because they try to reason around God. Because you cannot try to reason, and Paul is so clear about it. He says in Romans 7 verse 18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil that I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present within me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of the sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." So Paul is recognizing here in Romans 8, and he says to us, listen guys, when I say that I'm not walking in the flesh, but in the Spirit, I can tell you that it's not so easily done. There's a war going on in me every day and an understanding that it's not so easy to walk according to the Spirit. And Paul is saying, the more I try to do good, the more I realize that out of my flesh I will not be able to do it. I need to connect to the Spirit. I desperately need to get addicted to that place of the presence of God. As I was standing here this morning, God was just saying to me, again, get addicted to my presence. You're not addicted to my presence. The more you get it, the more you will want it. The more you feed yourself with the presence of God and the understanding of who He is and His Spirit speaking to you, the more you will want it. I want to teach my kids how to spend time in the presence of God this holiday. I made that a goal to myself to say, listen, let's just sit and just experience the presence and the peace of God in our lives. Because you know what? We try to reason around God and trying to figure His kingdom out, and it's not going to work. I hear so many guys. I was sitting with one guy the other day, and he was telling me, you know what? I don't need to be in a small group. Why do I need to be in a small group? Because, you know, I've got accountability with my family, and I've got... And as I was sitting with him, I said, you know what? If it's not an issue, why is this an issue? Are you with me this morning? If this is not an issue, why do you make it an issue? Why is this the first thing? And you know what? When you're a pastor, that always happens. When you get around people, they almost start to confess before you ask them to tell you anything about their lives. They started, you know, Apostle, you know, I'm so sorry that I didn't come to church on Sunday because I was so busy, and I didn't ask you to tell me why you were not at church. Yes, you must be in church. But you know what? I just want to fellowship with you and spend time with you. But when it gets to people, I realize that so many times we are so convicted already by the Holy Spirit. Why don't we just do what the Holy Spirit is saying? So I talked to guys, and the ones said to me, you know, you don't need to go to church. I've got a business, and my church is my business. And I said to him, you know what? I don't have a problem with you pursuing kingdom through your business. All that I want to ask you is, how many disciples did you raise up the last 5 years within your business? Because if you cannot tell me that you raised up one, there's a problem. That even all of your criticism against the church, I can tell you that the church advanced and the church is busy raising up disciples all day long. So stop fighting about nonsense. We get distracted about all kinds of nonsense, and we don't focus on the presence of God. We don't focus on the things that really matters. Are you with me this morning? There's a place that God wants us to engage into His Spirit and follow the prompting of His agenda. And people, it's going to happen. God is expecting us to lay down our own will and start to follow Him sacrificially. You cannot make sums around God. You cannot tell God that, you know, and I'm so astonished by, again, if I looked at what happened in New York again, such an organized city, and you look at those... tube systems that was just blocked and brought to a standstill because of the storm. This is the way that it's going to happen in this last year, days. Is that above our ability and above our way to manipulate and to control our circumstances around us, we will have to follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit urgently, promptly. I just so love the conversation that God had with Abram. And He said to Abram, Abram, take your son to the mountain and go and offer him to me. And it says, and I love that piece of scripture, it says, early the next morning, Abram took his donkeys, his son, and his slaves, and he went to the mountain. There was no time wasted. There was no reasoning. There was not 30 days of fast and prayer because I want to hear. That is the thing that shocks me in this time that we are living. That Christians will always tell you, you know what? I want to be obedient, but give me at least 10 days so that I can go and fast and pray about this. And then I'll tell. And I said, you know what? Rather leave it. Because if God speaks now, just be obedient. I'm not talking about a will to really follow the prompting of God, but there's a way in which we as Christians allowed ourselves and gave ourselves the right to even manipulate or control God, because we want to get to our agenda. And God is saying, you're not in step with me. Give up control. Live the way that I want you to live promptly in obedience to where I am taking you. So, Paul says, my efforts are in vain. It's only when I understand the Spirit at work in my life. And I want to just say this morning, I was so blessed by... Where's the lady that did the offering? Hercules' wife. That's how I remember her. Because that is exactly what God said to me this morning. Just be thankful about what God did this year. Just focus on the things, the wonderful things that God did. There's enough negative things that we can think about, but I can tell you, in the times that we are living, and I'll get to that later on, the times that we are living, we'll have to focus on the memorial stones in our lives, because we'll be so discouraged in what's happening in the midst of our circumstances now that we won't be able to see the future if we don't remind ourselves of the goodness and the faithfulness of God in the past. And therefore, you know, Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I'm not condemning you this morning. I'm telling you that for us, it's so important to get to the conviction, the understanding, the revelation of what the Spirit is saying. For that guy, all that he can tell me, because I said, what is the negative experience that you have at church? And all the things that he's busy mentioning to me, I realized, you know what, it's such petty things. It's things like, the dominie never came to me at my house, and he was not interested in even counseling me and my wife when we had problems, and you know what, they had a problem with my drinking problem, so they made me sit down, and I was listening to all of this, and I thought, you know what, just get free. Just get free in Christ. Just understand that that is not even God's will for your life. The things that you are mentioning, that is not the things that God wants you to be bound to. God wants you to have a free life where you can be accountable to what He's saying to your life. And therefore, according to the Spirit, verse 5. I want to quickly read Ephesians 5, verse 17, 20, 21. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand that the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And I think verse 21 is probably one of the most important things that we will have to face in the new year and in the times to come, is submitting to one another in the fear of God. I was again reminded of, just as I was worshiping this morning here in the church, reminded about a scripture that God again gave me years ago as well. Isaiah 31. Well-known scripture. Who to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But do not look to the Holy One of Israel or consult the Lord. And yet He is wise and brings disaster. He does not call back His words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the helpers, the work of iniquity. The Egyptians are man and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. When the Lord stretches out His hand, the helper will stumble, and he who helped will fall, and they will all perish together. And I want to ask you, go and read that Isaiah 31 again. A place where you and I understand that it's getting to such conviction within our inability to have anything in our businesses, in our houses, that is good enough for the season that we are going into. Because we rely on the systems and the securities and so many things, but we forget that God wants us to just focus on the Spirit, to really be in accountability, but to fear God. I love that Psalm 28 that just speaks about the place where you and I get to fear the Lord. To really fear Him for His glorious ways, the way in which He rules over this earth. Living in the Spirit means that you and I understand and have a revelation of the sovereignty of Almighty God. The fact that He knows better than us. I've tried to reason with God, and you know what? I always fail. I'm asking questions, and again, always God has better questions to talk back to me. I try to tell God, God, no, you don't understand my circumstances, and He says, I do. And I want to say to you this morning, in the midst of preparing for a new year and at the end of a previous, we need to really walk in the Spirit where God wants us to be. And I'm ending off with five requirements that God is talking about in verse 4 of Ephesians. He says that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Now, I want to talk about five things that, and I want to end off with that quickly. Of God's expectation of us in the midst of walking in the Spirit. Maybe I should just read Matthew 14:23 quickly. And after He had dismissed the crowds, He went up onto the mountain by Himself to pray. Listen, this is now Jesus with a need to pray. This was after the morning that Jesus again was confronted by so many challenges. Maybe I should not go there. But Jesus was very tired at this moment of the day and of what was happening in the midst of His ministry. He went to the mountain, He went to pray. And then it says, when evening came, He was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, He came to them walking on the sea. This was very late. But when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered Him, "Lord, if this is You, command me to come to You on the water." And He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out His hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped Him, saying, "Truly, You are the Son of God." And when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. Now, I just want to say, as Jesus was, and I want to just picture this thing to you. This morning, Jesus got up. A lot of challenges was at hand. But one of the biggest things was he went to the mountain first thing in the morning. Then he went and he spoke to the crowds. His disciples came to him and said, "Lord, should we send them away because we don't have any food?" And Jesus said to them, "No, you feed them." So this is just happening previously in this chapter, in this day, that Jesus was committing Himself to walking in the Spirit. He went to the mountain, He came back, and now He's confronting His disciples with the fact that they did not have the kind of faith that was necessary for the season that they were in. And He said to them, "You know what, I don't understand. What did I teach you the whole day? This morning you multiplied so many fishes, so many bread, and still this afternoon or tonight, you know, we stand on the boat, and I can tell you I'm so disappointed just by the mere fact that you still don't understand my sovereignty." But it's a beautiful picture to me about the way in which we engage so many times when we walk in the Spirit. That in the midst of great revelations of God, we can still miss Him. And we can still tie ourselves to everyday life where we are so consumed with the overwhelming challenges that there is that we forget that God just wants us to follow Him promptly every moment of the day. And so the first thing that I want to just say is that we need to walk in the Spirit, but in faith. That faith is in now. Faith is not tomorrow and one day I'm going to do great things for God, but what is God going to do today in your life so that he can be glorified? Are you with me? Not the great aspirations and the great calling that you read about and that you think about and that you dream and that you plot for yourselves in devotional books. What is God doing today in your faithfulness in committing yourself to a life of faith within him? Today, God, I know that you are going to do an awesome thing in my life. God, there will not be another holiday where I will leave my family and they will not be impacted by your Spirit. This holiday, this December holiday, my goal is to really see my family being impacted. God, I'm not going to wait years and I'm not going to talk about this. You know, I hear so many people say, one day some good things is going to happen to my family. You know, I know by the testimony of my life. You know what? You go with the testimony of your life and still they think you're a fool. They think that you're the only one that doesn't do Christmas. Okay? Christmas is off. Some of you might be shocked this morning. We're not saying don't have Christmas. We don't say don't have family time together. We don't say don't do the whole family gathering together. But what I am saying today to you, you know what? We're so airy-fairy about where we are going with God and the objections that we have within him and the goals that we are setting. And God says to us, you know what? I want to reach your family today. I'm not saying, please, understand me correctly. I'm not saying go and don't have a Christmas tree this year. You're going to offend your family. That's not what I'm talking about. There's a place where we commit ourselves to the faith, where we say that, God, I will do anything, but I'm going to fast, I'll pray, I'll do whatever is necessary, but I want to see the people around me being saved. I want to see that everyone that passed me in my watch, that they will have the opportunity to experience you because of testimony in my life. But not tomorrow, not one day, today. God, I want to do something. I want to really experience you as a living God in my life. Today in the workplace, I want to raise up disciples. I want to today in my workplace and there in the community see how I will speak into people's lives and God, they will be transformed because it will be your Spirit speaking through me, not through my ability. You know, it's easy to say walk in the Spirit. It's a more difficult thing when we understand that there's so many life's challenges that we have and even our culture that dictates how we go about in life. The second thing that I want to just say is stir up the flame within you. There's two things that I always, when I've got the privilege of going to the different shofar churches every year, the two things that I always hear from them is, the one thing is, they say to me, you know what, you're in front hook. You don't understand. The things that you're talking about, Hercules, I'll tell you, woo, this place, this is hard ground. Just walk there in the graveyard and just go and see how many Freemasons, you know, is being buried there and how many. And when you get to London, they'll tell you, you know what, let me just tell you, this is hard ground. The people's hearts are so hard here in London. You cannot speak to them. They're not open for the gospel. And then you go to Stellenbosch and they say, you know what, the ground is so hot. Yeah, this is probably the most. So for everyone, the spiritual climate that they are in is the worst of them all. The spiritual challenge is just the biggest. The second thing that I always then ask them, so what is your strategy to go about in breaking the ground? Then they will focus always on the things that they are not. The student church will tell you, you know what, we want more families. So we've got this strategy to reach out to families and we're going to get wonderful families in our church next year. And then I asked David Dean in London, in Tooting, I said to him, so David, tell me, how many people did you reach out of the family, constituency in Tooting the past 2 years with your focus on families? He said, well, there's one family that wants to actually, you know, commit themselves to the church and to commit themselves to Christ. And I said, so how many students did you reach the past 2 years? No, we've got about 40, 50 people that we got saved and discipled. Then you get to Worcester, they tell you, if we can just have more white people in our church. We too colored. Or you get to Tigerberg and they tell you, you know, if we can just get more colored people in our church, more black people. And you go all over, and the strategy that they will tell you will always be the one of the flame that God is not stirring in the church. And that brings me to my point this morning that, you know, when it gets to walking in the Spirit, we must follow the little flames that God is giving us. Where God goes with that is His business. If this church must be a white church, let it be a white church. If it must be a young church, let it be a young church. If it must be whatever. But just go with where God is going. Don't focus on the dead works and the dry wood and the things that's not happening, because it's not going to happen for a long time. Until God sparks the little flame and you can see, God, now the timing is ready. And I'm so excited when I can see pastors just getting excited about small things that God is busy doing. You know, one family that God is busy saving. One, you know, young person that God is busy raising up in a school. And, you know, when they start to stir that little flame and they just start to get excited about that person, next year I come there and there's 50 kids getting together and all of them are just so fired up for God. And that's why I say, let's go with the goers and pull the slowers. But don't focus on the things that's not happening. Do what we said this morning. Focus on the things, the positive things that God is doing, and start to just get excited about it. Start to flame it. Start to say, God, just breathe on this thing so that I can follow your flame, so it will become a felt fire. Are you with me? Don't focus on the things that's not happening in your life. And I know what you're going to do. New Year's Eve, you're going to sit and you're going to make a list of things that you're going to change this year. And most of those things will be things that you are probably never going to get to, and that is probably never going to happen in your life. Ask God what He's busy doing and start to follow Him. There was this one book, and I still till today just love that thing. I think it's Experience God. Is that, what's the guy's name? Blackaby. And he said in that book, it's a precious book. You must really try to get hold of it. He says, watch where God is busy moving and just follow Him. Don't start to initiate your own stuff and your own ideas and wonderful. There's already wells being dug up. We must just get to remove the stones. We must just follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. There's things that God is busy doing in your life, and you're not seeing it. Sorry, I'm taking too long, but I'm going to end off just now. The third thing, God's people come alive through unity. And I want to ask you, you know, within this year, start to appreciate the body of Christ as a unit. That yes, your calling is great, but it's only great within a greater picture. I love this. Manifest presence directly is linked to the righteousness and holiness. Revelation 3 verse 14. The place where you and I know that the manifest presence of God, if we want to experience His presence here among us, if we want to have His manifestation among us, we must live holy lives. We must start to repent about the things that we are doing wrong. That was a beautiful picture to me in the Western Cape now. You know, where the farmers just start to repent. Where they say, listen, yes, we can tell you that we've we're not where we're supposed to, but we're far from where we were. But still, we are not where God wants us to be. And I could see how, you know, God is just busy changing the lives of so many people as they repent and experience the presence of God through the righteousness of Jesus being the mediator to you and I, and we have to repent about the things that we do wrong. But I want to say this. Authority and effectiveness is directly related to unity. And we read it so many times in Matthew as well, where two or three are gathered together. If you unlock things on earth, it will be unlocked in heaven. You know what? If we can get to the unity and the understanding that in this last days, drinking tea together is not going to help us to see the unity of God. That yes, I hear so many people say, ja, nou moet the church, die kerk moet nou weer begin saamwerk. Ons moet nou weer begin gatherings hou om transformations en al die goed. Transformations is great. I don't have a problem with that. But I've got a problem with the fact that we think that all kinds of initiatives where we are trying to work together is going to help us to get anywhere. The only place where we will get to be unified as the body of Christ and be more effective and see real changes is if all of us hear the same thing from God. So if you want to be unified, if you want to see the body of Christ being unified again, start to pray that we will hear God, because if we don't, we're not unified with anyone, we'll see no fruit. There will be no effectiveness. That's the only way that we will be assured of the effective work of God in our lives. You know, the fourth thing, determine your next step. And I want to say that if the previous one was fulfilled. Because so many Christians come to me and they say to me, you know what, I can't hear God's voice. I said to them, you know, I don't understand what you're saying to me, because how did you get saved? How did you, you know, follow the prompting of God to go to this church? And the soon as you start to talk to them, they would say, yes, I might, you know, I must be honest with you, there's times that God really spoke into my life. There's times that I really experienced the burning bush in my life where God really brought me to holy ground and He spoke directly into my life. But there's this experience that I'm experiencing now. And that, what I always say to them, you know what? Let's talk about the last time that God spoke to you. What did He say? Because you cannot take the next step if you've not completed the previous. Many Christians are not experiencing God in the midst of their circumstance, even if it's difficult. I'm not talking about difficult circumstances, because we can be really in the seventh heaven in the midst of our difficult circumstances. Are you with me? But I can tell you one thing. If you know that this is where God wants you to be now, and that you are walking through this valley of the shadow of death because God is busy doing something in your life, it makes sense. There's purpose in it. There's a wonderful revelation of where God is walking with you. Go back to the previous time that God spoke into your life and the things that He asked you to do, and go and revisit those things and do it. Be obedient. Go and do those things and be faithful to the least. God will be able to entrust you with more. You know, Israel prospered in the presence of God. And if you look at the beautiful picture of Israel throughout the ages, I maybe just quickly want to read you this scripture. Exodus 33, verse 15 to 16. And I don't know why I've got it in Afrikaans. But let's read it in Afrikaans. Toe sê hy vir hom, as u nie self meegaan nie, laat ons dan nie hier vandaan optrek nie. Want waaraan sou dan bekend word dat ek genade in u oë gevind het ek en die volk, is dit nie daaraan dat u met ons saamtrek nie? Ons sal ons, ek en die volk, onderskeie wees van elke volk wat op die aarde is. So Moses is saying that, God, please, we can talk about a lot of things that we miss and that we might not have food, we might suffer in the wilderness, but God, we cannot go without your presence. God, we cannot move without your presence. God, we want to speak to you. We want to experience you. We want to have a revelation of who you are. And therefore, you'll see that in the midst of Israel as a, you know, just a nation, you see that it will start with a burning bush. It will go to Sinai. It will go to the tabernacle, then the temple. Until today, and I think the biggest frustration for the Jews in Israel is the fact that they don't have the temple and the Ark of the Covenant within that temple so that the presence of God is in the midst of his people. Because the Messiah had to come and fulfill the presence of God being among us, according to Joel, according to Micah, where you and I understand that all that it is for the Jews, you know, in the times that they are living, is that they come to the urgency and the understanding that God, you know what, you have forsaken us. It's as if you're not bringing those promises to us. In Joel, in Micah, the place where we could really say that God, that is what we fought for all of our lives. If it was David, David would go and take the Ark of the Covenant back to the temple because he knew that if God's presence is not with us, we are not the nation of Israel. We are not the people of God. We will not experience the presence of God if our lives being fruitful if we don't have the presence of God. Are you with me this morning? But there's an urgency in their hearts to still see the Messiah coming back. And I can tell you, you know what? We take it so easily for granted that Jesus Christ came so that you and I can experience his presence every day. Jesus with us every day through his Holy Spirit being in our lives, being Holy Spirit directed. But we so easily take it for granted. We don't understand how powerful this is. My last point, the one of live with an expectation, is that, you know what, if the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives, it's only through the expectation that we have for him to work in our lives. Are you with me this morning? I always ask myself the question, why when CS comes with his SOS, everyone sees the miracles and they experience the wonderful works of Christ and they go into the field and they pray for people and you know why? Yes, there's an anointing with it, but I can tell you, our expectation level rises. It's just sad that it's only by event. That our everyday life is not because of an expectation that the Holy Spirit will work today. That this afternoon I'll go back to my family and when they are sick, I'm not going to turn my back and say to my wife, you know what, if they can just become Christians, they'll have easier lives. Or if they can just sort out their budget, then they'll not be in this mess. Or, you know, is that not the way that you guys are experiencing holidays as well? We start to criticize, you know, the family and the way in which they engage business and we forget that God placed you in their lives so that you can be a fulfillment of his promises. That you can be a revelation of God in their lives. In your workplace, that woman that suffers every week with her children not getting well, and sick, and there's always testimony of sickness and of poverty. Why are you turning your shoulder? While Jesus is saying, you go and feed them. You go and be the solution. You make sure to portray me
and my spirit in their lives. Are you with me this morning? It's according to the expectation that we have. We don't have an expectation because it's so easy to rather have a nice holiday. It's rather easy to, in the workplace, just make as if you didn't hear that woman complaining about the suffering that she's going through. That woman that's working in your house every week, the way in which she's moaning and groaning because her family is just falling apart. But you've got 100 reasons why this is happening to her. And I want to tell you, you know, God's people must become God's people, carrying His presence wherever He is, wherever He wants to go. And therefore, Romans 8 verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Through His Spirit who dwells in you. You know, one of the saddest things that I can see in Christianity today is a lack of urgency. Is a lack of urgency in understanding that, yes, I can tell you, I've spoken to Bram just before the service, you know, and it's so evident to me, you know, last year we were in December, talking about how rough the previous year was. And we all said to one another, yuck, we just need a break. And you know what, it can only go better next year. And if we talk this year, we must say to one another, it's just not turning better. It's getting worse. Every year it's just getting worse because the urgency in the world is more than our urgency of what God is busy doing. The urgency and just the drive of the world is to such an extent, and I can tell you, you know what? Jesus is on a roll. I'm so excited to just see what God is busy doing in the body of Christ today. You know, if I look at that church, then Reading, what's it, Bethel, and so many other churches all over the world, you know, just the raw Jesus that they live for. The heart's desire to see Jesus being established in their lives and through their lives and seeing that nothing else matters. All the millions of this world cannot persuade us to follow the world, but rather to follow the prompting of Christ, to be in step to where Christ is moving. That must become urgency in our heart. It must be contagious. Wherever we go, we must have a contagious life where people will say, that is what I want. I don't need money. I don't need security. I need that in my life. That is life and life in abundance. But Christians, there's an urgency lacking. You and I must understand that even this next year, things are not going to get slower, but our capacity to rule will become better. We'll be able to overcome more. We'll be able to get to higher places. We'll be able to really catapult ourselves to the promises of God. I sat with this guy in the aeroplane. And I could see something in his eyes changed. And he said to me, Hercules, you know what? I want to tell you, this is the first time in my life that somebody's not judging me for the things that I'm doing wrong. It's the first time in my life that I'm sitting here and I must remember 15 other people are also listening because this guy's loud. He says to me, you know what? I must be honest with you. I'm sitting here today. The only thing that I have with me in this aeroplane, my briefcase. I left my home, my wife, my little kid in Blobergstrand, and I'm going now to Joburg to my family, to leave my family, my little family. But I'm going to go and I'm going to start a new life. That was my plan until now. But after speaking to you, I realize that I don't have a living relationship with Christ, nor did I understand church at all, nor did I understand that it's not about the things that I do, that is, that things that I can sort out with God, but I don't have a living relationship with God at all. I'm going to go back on the next flight back to my family in Bloemfontein. I'm going to make sure that I restore the things that God wants to do in my family and in me. You know, it's such a beautiful, divine moment where I understood that God, even in the midst of my tiredness today, I'm so selfish. If I had my way, I would have told this guy to shut up and leave me alone so that I could do my own thing. So I can't even take, you know, the blessing of this thing, God, because I was filthy in my heart. I just wanted to tell this guy, you are a drunkard, you are a... But thank you, God, that you can work in my life even though I'm a sinner. Even though I every day make so many mistakes. That in my family, I can tell you, there's so many things that this family, this holiday, we are sorting out again because we've missed one another this year. We're not perfect. But there's a seeking of the will of God and the presence of God and the presence of His Holy Spirit in our lives that is precious. And people can tell what about me and my family and my wife and my... But we know that God... We are sincere before you. We are really searching. Now I want to tell you today, you will never get it right. Paul didn't get it right. He said in Romans, the more I try, the less I get it right. But God, that is not going to hinder me to get closer to you. I live in your spirit. I'll experience life and life in abundance because I'm with you. I'm choosing not the flesh, but the spirit. Let us just stand this morning. Vader, dankie dat het so lekker warm is vir oggend, dat ons lekker moeg is na hierdie lang diens. Here, maar, Vader, that you have an appointment with us, that in the midst of this morning, Father God, you want to tell us that it's time to really get to your agenda, to get in step with your spirit, to really get in step with your promises in our lives. And Father, I want to just say this morning, for me and my family, we don't want to go without your presence. We don't want to, Father God, be known as a family with great success without you being the center of it. And I know that that is the heart's desire of every family standing here this morning, every person that commits themselves to the fullness of Christ. And Father, this morning I pray that you will bring us back to your awesome presence. That we will again experience with expectation your Holy Spirit to work in and through us with an urgency. Father, not a year will not go by again with us not pursuing the goals that you've set for us. Father, we want to go and even ask in this holidays, what is the things that you, the little flames that you are putting in our lives, so that we can start to stir them to become felt fires. We so, Father, are overwhelmed by the fact that it's still a small flame, that it's still so insignificant, that Father God, that our abilities are so insignificant in our own eyes. And then we miss, Father, that you can make any flame to become a felt fire, if that is your flame. And this morning we pray for your flame to burn very, very, Father God, strong in our lives again. Give us the opportunity to again see those memorial stones that you've placed there and start to, Father God, move accordingly. To again revisit those moments, Father, when you spoke to us and in the ways that you do, individually to each one of us. And Father, help us to revisit those moments and to live them again so that we will be able to really experience your Spirit. And I pray, Father God, that your Spirit will not leave us. Take hold of us. Overpower us. Make your Spirit, Father God, the centerpiece of our lives. in the name of Jesus. As we stand here this morning, and I want you to keep your eyes closed. This is a special moment before God. This is the most special moment of this meeting. Because you know what? If you don't know Christ, I want you to really, this morning, just recognize that He must become the centerpiece of your life. Is there any such person here today? Just raise your hand. Any such person this morning, you know that Christ must become the Lord and Savior of your life. If you are standing here this morning and you know that the Holy Spirit is prompting you and saying to you, and you might be a very old Christian, I can tell you, God is convicting me a lot about these things over and over and over again. You stand here and you know that the urgency is not in your heart. You know that the expectation for the Holy Spirit to move is not in your heart. And I want you to raise your hand just where you're standing, because this is a recognition toward God. Father, I thank you for every hand being raised this morning. Father, we are your covenant people. We are the people that chose you by choice. Father, to come and circumcise our hearts, to come and take our lives and to rule over us. And this morning, in the name of Jesus, Father, I pray for every person that raised their hands. Father, that you will empower them again with your Holy Spirit, that again they will walk according to the Spirit. Father, that they will again fight the good fight against the war of the flesh, Father God, and I pray that the flesh will not rule over them. I pray this morning, Father God, that we as your people, will experience moments, expectations, Father God, seasons, moments, Father, of awesome breakthrough because of the expectation of your Holy Spirit to use us, actually to use us, Father, as failures in the world, but still as kingdom kids, Father God, as wonderful princes in your kingdom. And Father, I pray today in the name of Jesus that with that authority we will start to rule again, to walk because of the boldness of the Spirit working in our lives. I pray, Father God, that you will start to really again anoint our foreheads and to make us, Father God, to really become your sons again, following the prompting of your Spirit. In the name of Jesus. I want to actually ask you to come to the front. If you've raised your hand this morning, I want to just trust this morning that God will do a special thing in your heart, just as a memorial stone. If you've raised your hand, just quickly come to the front. Come and stand here. I know that there was a few hands this morning. And if you know that you should be here, and it's not to expose you, really, that's not the heart. But I want you to really bring this as a memorial stone before God. If you are not here in front, and you should be here quickly. And this morning, I want to ask you to really pray for the person next to you. If you guys can turn to one another, you guys, and I ask a lady to come to the front. Can you just quickly come to the front? You guys, and can I ask Atlee that you come and pray here in front? Guys, can you just turn to one another? If you've got the freedom, even standing in the pews this morning, I know that you really want to go home. Daar seel moet ek 'n lekker skaapboot in die oond, en jy's opgewonde oor die lekker vooruitsig van daai skaapboot. But let's not leave this place without God just cementing the moment in our hearts. I want to ask you, even if you're sitting still, that you would turn to somebody else and just ask them, pray for me, you know, before we leave this meeting, so that God can just cement something very special that He wants to do within the year to come. Amen. Great. Let's turn to one another. Hi, Trek, Sarah. Father, we come and pray that you will come and bless us just with your peace and your understanding of a revelation of the things that you want to speak to us about. May this be a consecrated time for every family here, that your protection and your hand of protection will be over them physically as well. That Father God, even their properties, their Father God, everything that is owned by us collectively, Father God, that it's for the kingdom's sake and for your purposes, Father, and therefore we ask as good stewards that you will protect us. And Father, I just pray that as we go about from here, that we will be able to be good stewards to the calling that you've given us. Father, that in the midst of the understanding of who you are, we know that stewardship is only good if it's over the things that you've called us to do. And Father, that is the kind of stewardship that we want to portray to the world, that we want to actually make as the priority in our families. That Father, we want to protect the things that is dear to you. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus that your Spirit will talk to us, and that we will be able, Father God, to move according to your urgency and your heart's desire. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Nou ja, nou kan jy daai amper sê ek vark